This broadcast of the PJC Media Network seeks to present wholesome, thought-provoking, and entertaining content. However, the views expressed by the hosts of PJC Media are theirs and theirs alone. They do not reflect the views of this network or its affiliates. Please utilize listener discretion.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Each week, we feature different topics concerning issues that sometimes can be difficult to talk about. These issues concern children and adults who may be autistic, have Asperger's, or have mental disorders of any kind. We will discuss law enforcement and how they interact with these persons. Now, let's start the show.
Good evening. Good evening and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Tonight we will be talking about our black Supreme Court judge who's going to be a female, but not only a female, she's going to be a black female. So on February 25th, the White House confirmed that President Joe Biden is nominating Ketanji Brown Jackson to the U.S. Supreme Court. Jackson, who currently serves as a judge on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit, and who the White House described as an exceptionally qualified nominee, is poised to become the first black woman to serve on the nation's highest court. Though black women are underrepresented as judges in the nation's court system, Jackson's nomination marks the latest milestone in the history of black women lawyers that date back to 150 years. For many, civil rights was a major motivation for practicing law. With this in mind, Time asked historians what women paved the way for this moment. For too long, our government and our courts haven't looked like America, Biden said while introducing Jackson on Friday. I believe it's time we have a court that reflects the full talents and greatness of our nation with a nominee of extraordinary qualifications. So there you have it. When she comes on, America will be like America. So I'm going to introduce my co-speaker, Mr. Coleman, how you doing?
Good afternoon, Jenny White. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much, sir. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it was a great pick. There were a couple other potential nominees, but Ms. Ketanji Brown Jackson was the one that rose above all the other possible attorneys, and so she was the one that was chosen. I think she was. I think she's highly qualified for that position.
Yes, and so do I, and so do a lot of people. But then you have the Republicans, and they don't like it, and someone said they're only doing that because they're running for election again, so they don't want to be, what should I say, like, you know, they're trying to get close to her or, you know, being okay with her. And that doesn't make sense to me. That doesn't make sense to me.
Well,
you have to change your mind. You have to change your mind and say that you don't like a person because you don't want your those people. I mean,
right.
How can you? I mean, you're afraid that if you vote for a black woman, that they won't black for you. And one thing for sure, a lot of them have been on too long now. They need to go home and relax and just, you know, quit. But, you know, if you can't be yourself, that just sounds crazy to me. You have to do different things to get people on your side.
Well, I don't know I don't know why anything the Republicans do at this point surprises us. I just think that, you know, anyone, whether they were white or black, that Biden picked, they would have given a hard time. I just think that the blatant disrespect of not only, you know, her being a female, but her being a black female, I think just kind of pushed them over the edge. And not only that, the fact that she's more qualified than most of them, you know. And
the questions they were asking her that didn't make sense?
Yeah,
you know, what
they
is the
were.
The definition of a woman? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, they were asking what was she, her faith, and you know, Lindsey Graham asked her what would she say her faith is from 1 to 10, and then Tom Cruise wanted to talk about her record as far as sentencing pedophiles, and they wanted to go into the child porn. They were really pushing that hard. And so, you know, it was said that Josh Hawley has, you know, approved and confirmed other judges that have similar records in regards to similar sentencing records. So, you know, it's not about that, you know. So, you know, really it's like, what is it about? I think that they are just afraid, you know, the fact that she's so, you know, qualified, and they know that she's thorough, and that, you know, they just wanted to be disrespectful. And so it's
well, they did a good job of that.
Yeah, they definitely did a good job of that, and I think she did a great job holding her composure.
Yes, she did.
In the midst of, you know, all those shenanigans and tomfoolery, it was just theatrical. It was stupid.
Yeah.
And,
had no meaning at all.
No
meaning.
And, you know,
and Booker really, you know, he really had a good, well, wasn't a speech, but he was really on her side. And that helped her, I'm sure. Because sitting in that spot, and with these crazy people asking crazy questions, I mean, you know, it just didn't make sense. It just didn't make sense.
I mean, you know, Alan Dershowitz, you know, who was a professor at, you know, the college that Ted Cruz attended. He was his professor. You know, even went as far as to say that, you know, Tom Cruise's line of questioning was very ignorant. It didn't make any sense. And he's praised him in the past, 2016, Alan Dershowitz had good words for Ted Cruz. I'm about to call him Tom Cruise, but he might as well call him Tom Cruise because, he act like he's on a Mission Impossible.
I don't think he's going to be a president, and that's what he wants. That he was running against Trump, remember?
Yeah, Trump called his wife ugly and said his father had something to do with the assassination of JFK. So, go figure. And then he grovels back to him and kisses him.
Yes, yes. Oh, man. If that's what you have to do to hold a job, do you really? Is that a good job? You got to turn yourself
upside down. It's a great job. You get your medical insurance for life. You're making probably close to $175,000, $200,000 a year. Not to mention, the donations that you get.
So what you're saying is that you have to sell your soul.
Well, I don't think everybody sold their soul, but a lot of them have, especially a lot of the Republicans, So, and they aren't trying to support democracy at this point.
No.
Literally, they're against it, they're even supporting Russia and Putin, war to take
over
Ukraine.
Can you believe that? That they're on his side?
Well, I just know. Right now, there are a number of states that are instituting laws that will hamper people from voting, restrict people from voting, and the majority of people of color, in urban areas. There'll be a lot of other people affected as well, but, mostly they know black people vote Democrats and when we come out in numbers, they can't beat
us. They're afraid, you're right, absolutely.
So they're not trying to play fair. They just want to win by any means necessary. And they're cheating, right in front of, our faces. They're doing it blatantly and we'll do something about it, If you,
no one seems
about
to be doing that. The Democrats are kind of, it seems like they're kind of weak. They're afraid to do anything, to say anything. How are you going to stand up like that?
Democrats have been weak for years. It's nothing new. I think that at this stage of the game, they are attempting to do some things. But I don't know. It seems like they're moving real slow. They still haven't passed the voters' right bill that still hasn't passed, we've got midterm elections coming up in November.
That's probably why they haven't did anything on it.
That should have been a first priority, or the top two. I know he wanted to pass the Build Back Better bill. But even besides that, they needed to put a lot of attention into this voters' right bill. And push come to shove, just filibuster it and vote it in. but they've been hesitant to use the filibuster. And Ted Cruz kept saying, you know, to the senator that was presiding over the confirmation, you know, he was disrespectful, and you know, he kept telling him, if you're going to filibuster, filibuster. So it's just amazing to see the politics in action before our eyes. I mean, you know, we're living through history. Because if the Republicans get back in charge.
Oh, my gosh. Please don't even say that. Trump either.
Well, Joe Manchin said he'd vote for Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Didn't Lindsey say something that was good about her in the beginning?
Was that Lindsey Graham?
I thought it was him.
Well, he went on to say, you know, he speaks with forked tongue.
Yeah.
He went on to say that the candidate that stayed in his home state of South Carolina should have been nominated. So, you know, he wanted to have a problem with that. It's just been terrible watching the treatment of this black lady, and it's really been pissing me off, as well as a number of other people. I mean, she's got the second highest rating as far as popularity and people really wanting her to be on the courts. She's like at 58%, where John Roberts, you know, was at 59%. So
how do you think her husband feels? And he's sitting behind her.
I'm sure he's upset
too.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. And
make sense, the questions they ask, though. They just don't make any sense. What is the woman what does that have to do with judging? Let's take a break. And if anyone is listening, if you would like to add something to that or ask a question, all you have to do is press the 1, and you can ask your question or, you know, give us an opinion. So I'm going to take a pause.
Do you know a youth in need of a place to live? Have you always wanted to make a difference in the city of Detroit but not known how? The answer to both of these questions is Covenant House, Michigan. Covenant House is a youth homeless shelter serving 18 to 24-year-olds in the city of Detroit with education, resources, job preparation, and so much more. If you'd like to learn more about these programs, please call 313-463-2000 or look us up on the web at www.covenanthousemi.org.
We'll be back to the Let's Talk About It, Jenny White Show.
This is Jacqueline Jones Frederick of Jones & Frederick Enterprises, Inc. This incorporation consists of a tutoring business, a tutoring staffing, and a traveling business. We have served the community since 2007. Our clients are third graders to college students. We tutor in all academic subjects. Please call Jacqueline at 586-306-5487.
And we're back to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show.
Okay, and we're back with the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. And one thing I want to say real quickly is if you haven't done your taxes, the 18th of April will be the last day. So don't forget and try to get all your papers or whatever together so you won't be, you know, messing around. So, okay, well, we're back talking about Ms. Ketanji Brown Jackson, who President Biden nominated for the United States Supreme Court. The only problem I have with the Supreme Court is the fact that they go on forever. They can work on that Supreme Court for as long as they want. And I don't think that's a good thing. So if someone wants to say something different, press your one and let me know. But that's my opinion, because I don't know of any other job that people have that they keep it forever. Maybe a minister, maybe. I don't know. I have a listener, and let's see what she has to say. Good evening. How are you?
Good evening, Ms. Jenny White and our wonderful co-host. I'd like to just make a comment. There's a question I was looking at in regards to sitting Justice Clarence Thomas and his wife. And there he's under investigation because they have linked his wife to talking with some important official about the 2020, I think it's the 2020 election.
Right.
And some comment or text that she made about it. And I guess it was the way he voted. It sounded like they were in agreement. And it sounded like it was something that you can, you know, something that was, it shouldn't have been, it shouldn't have happened or something.
She was attempting, she wanted someone to turn it around. She didn't want Biden to be in. She wanted Trump to stay in. That's what she wanted. She was trying to do, which is illegal.
She was at the General Assembly meeting. She was at the Capitol meeting. She was down at the Capitol meeting, I guess. Someone said she had a buzzword there. Yeah, it's a rally.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, they say she, you know, she was instrumental in providing transportation to some of the people that had come into Washington for the rally in air quotes.
So how would that look, you know?
He's supposed to step back if his wife is doing something, but he's all in.
Yeah, and then he voted a certain way to show that he was some type of vote he cast to show that, you know, some write-up he cast to show that he was in agreement with that. So
right.
How can you can't do anything with those kind of people. Another thing, if you're going in, okay, they're going through all these changes trying to get this black woman on, but what good is it? She cannot outvote the rest of them, so she's just like a token. It's going to be, if they put it, they're going to be on the Supreme Court. That's what I see, you know. The rest of them, the way they're voting, you know, you can't remove those people, you know.
No.
They're all on the side of the Republicans, yeah.
Of course. And we have
another thing.
Okay, go ahead.
Another thing I see, okay, we're trying to get the voter rights through the federal government and all of this, but what the powers that be are trying to do is to get it within the states, to have the states like, okay, Florida is fighting this gay rights and the abortion thing at the state level. In other words, we're not going to listen to the federal government. We're going to do this at the state level. This is what they're trying to do, and they want to get so many states.
Yeah, they're changing. Yeah, they're changing everything.
We don't care. You can do what you want to the federal government. We don't care. So what we're fighting for, even if we were to win, it seems like at the federal level, they wouldn't listen to it, and the states wouldn't listen to it. I tell you what's interesting to me. I was listening to I was looking at the FBI, you know, when the three civil rights activists were missing. I was trying to look at Mississippi Burning with Gene Hackman. I couldn't get that on, but I got the FBI, what all they went through to find these three missing civil rights young men. And it was something. But even at the state level, they knew that these men had killed. They even talked about how one of the civil rights persons, he had been shot in the chest. But when they put him in this earthen dam down in the ground, they noticed that he had something in his hand when they pulled all three of these boys out, young men out. And it was dirt. And they said, in other words, he was buried alive with the bullet in him. This is one thing they found out. So how can we, they knew that at the state level, the state would never convict those men of murder. So they had to pull it outside, saying that these people who did this went outside, went against their civil rights law in trying to get them. And then it was just so long that they could do. So we really don't have any power to do anything as long as each individual state has their way of seeing things. And they say Mississippi is the worst. But now they're trying to get, each state is trying to say who they want to be, you know, and all of this.
That's going to be a mess. That's going to be a mess.
It is, because we're not coming together as the United States with the federal government and all this, you know, and that's the kind of Congress is so messed up. You can't get anything through the Congress at all. You can't, it's hard for them to deal with issues because they keep fighting each other over this power. How are they going to control all this power? Who's going to be in control of the power? No matter who votes, they're still in power because they can still
be
the electoral college. It is, and that's what they're doing now. That's going to lead to a lot of other, you know. And I was looking at these two district attorneys who resigned on, you know, looking at the case against former President Trump on a lot of felonies. And they said the man is guilty. So what they did, they just resigned because this one man came on board and said, "Well, I'm not going to pursue that like that right now. They won't take action against it. They won't take any action against it, and they know that he's wrong." So
I wonder if they're afraid of him.
They resigned, you know, and
I wonder if they're afraid of him.
I guess they're afraid of the people that's backing him, you know, backing him no matter what. They knew that what he did was wrong. All that information, all of that, even during the election, you know, the things that he was doing, it was wrong. But who's going to stand up to him?
And then try to get somebody to change the vote.
That's true.
And poor Pence, you know. And he's going to run. Are you kidding me? Nobody's going to vote for him.
It is. You wonder just where we're going. Where are we really going, you know, as far as a nation, a democratic nation?
I can't say he did wrong.
With Ukraine. If you can't go to the federal government, you can't go to the judge, you can't go, you know, where can you go for any type of justice at all? It's just not there. If you're not on the right party, what they call the right party, you're not going to get it.
Okay, so, TC, what do you think?
Do you have something to say? First one is, I don't agree with the caller for the simple reason she's saying that the black lady, if she gets on the Supreme Court, it's a token, not necessarily so. If she gets on the Supreme Court, guess who's sick now? Who's sick?
Clarence Thomas.
Yeah.
So what did he say? What's going to happen then? Then Biden will have another choice, another chance at adding someone to the Supreme Court, right?
Oh, now
that's okay. I can see that, yeah.
You see what I mean?
Look at the hard time that they're giving.
I understand what you're saying. I didn't mean to, you know, I'm talking about when it comes down to numbers, the numbers game.
Right.
She would be outnumbered. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that.
Right. I understand what you're saying, but a lot of people would take that as saying, you know what I mean? But sometimes you need to look past the obvious and dig a little bit deeper to figure out, you know, what's really going on. And like I said, the man upstairs is the one that's got the final call. So, you know, Judge Thomas could be good today, and tomorrow he could be gone, like a lot of the other old ones can be gone.
Okay? Yeah,
That would be perfect.
Like I said, you never know what's going to happen, right?
That's true.
But at least
But if he had to put another judge on the Supreme Court, they would go crazy.
Thomas, first of all, you got to remember, Thomas was never supposed to make it to the Supreme Court.
Right.
He was never supposed to make it to the Supreme Court. Think about all these Southerners voting on a black man married to a white lady put on the Supreme Court. I know they were dying over there.
And all the mess that was behind his name, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't so much that. The goal was this, seeing that Thurgood Marshall, was sick and had left the court, they wanted the Democrats to vote out Thomas, okay? So if the Democrats vote out Thomas, then the white people, Republicans, say, hey, we tried to give you a black person, but y'all voted him out. But the Democrats said, no, we ain't going to say nothing. We're just going to let it go through it and see what happens. And they were so hurt when Thomas didn't get booted off because they just knew the Democrats was going to jump on it. Right? So when they got what they got, they were totally pissed. Like I said, she's pinned to the bushes, you know. But they never try to attach those two on TV. You'll never hear them say it. But, I mean, that's Mrs. Bush. You can tell they're sisters, you know.
Clarence Thomas' wife?
Yeah, his wife. Is the sister or a cousin to the Bushes.
Her name is Virginia.
Yeah, Virginia.
Oh, we got to deal with this now. We're in trouble.
but like I said, you never know what's going to happen. Nobody thought that the lady, the DEG, what they call it, the Notorious,
Ruth Ginsburg.
Yeah, nobody thought she was going to, that lady did more exercise than I do. At 90-something. So, no, you know, she was just trying to hold on until,
she did.
You know.
She was also good.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, you get most people that are considered immigrants or Jewish or whatever, they're normally pretty, you know, or black, they're normally pretty, you got to be good to get that high. You know, because all they're trying to, If she would have spit on the sidewalk, they would have probably scraped it up and saved it till, you know, give you a better example than that. Look what happened when, I can't think of his name. Come on. Obama killed that fly on TV.
Oh, yeah.
He was in there.
Wasn't that interesting?
And smacked it. All of a sudden, all the animal rights people and all those people, you know, started whining. They cried more about that fly than they did about these people getting killed over here in Ukraine.
Well, they didn't say was, when Pence had a fly on him.
Yes,
well,
they did.
On his forehead. Who had
yes,
the fly on their forehead?
They laughed.
They said the fly was in search of something, like a brain or something like that. The fly was in search of it.
Oh, we're so crazy.
A lot of times we look at the surface when we really need to sometimes just kind of sit back and dig a little deeper and see, okay, now, what is the final outcome? Because y'all remember I told you about, I guess, 3 or 4 months ago, as they start dividing the United States, what do they think is going to happen? You know what I mean? The white people are going to want to kill the black people and want to kill everybody else. And I think they think that black people are going to stand there and say, oh, please, don't do that. But the United States will begin to look like the country that, like what happened to Russia. Not Russia, but Ukraine. Because when they get to fighting, I mean, whose job is going to be saved? How many black people that's in the Air Force, Army, Navy, go shoot other black people? When you start
saying that again,
stuff. When you start dividing stuff, sometimes you don't get what you want. You know, so you got to be like. I guess what they said, the guy from Russia, he thought it was going to be over in 10 days. He's still pissed. Can you imagine losing more people in 20 days than someone in a war for 20 years?
Yeah.
I mean, so, you know, my thing, if it was me, Ukraine, I'd get all those tanks that we captured, and I'd blow the heck out of Russia. So the people of Russia think they're hearing they're not hearing the truth. They're hearing the truth for some of those, the rockets start hitting over there, and all of a sudden their kids and stuff start getting hurt. That would definitely wake them up. But unfortunately, we got wimps as Democrats. They don't want to do that. But, I mean, how long do you keep telling somebody, wait, wait, and you're seeing your family killed? Oh, wait, don't worry.
You can't.
We'll talk about it. I mean, you'd be like, I don't want to talk right now. You know, let's do some shooting or do something because they blowing me up day after day after day. And these white people talking about, well, Mike, the red line. Now, where's the red line? But come on, you didn't level how many cities, killed how many people, how many kids, and you still looking for a red line? I mean, if I was the people that Ukraine, I'd start shooting at some of these people that's supposed to be part of NATO. How come y'all ain't blowing stuff over here?
Well, wait
these
a minute.
These people are just
now
dying like rats, and all of a sudden these people, you know. We'll bring people in. Don't bring people in. Give me some people over here that can shoot some rockets into Russia to let Russia know, people know there's something else going on than what the people are telling them. But then I might be considered militant being an ex-Air Force man. So I have my biases. No, but that's
yeah.
What I was saying. Sometimes we just have to dig deeper because Virginia, your last show, you said that you did not like our vice president for president.
Excuse
so you
me?
Said she don't, what's he doing? And
what,
my
who,
question to you,
who?
Who
are you talking about?
I'm talking about our vice president.
Oh.
Kamala Harris.
I'm just saying that you never hear anything about her. Is she doing anything?
What do you ever hear about the vice
president?
She
was earlier in NATO. She was there.
Yeah, but I'm saying, what do you ever really hear about vice president? If you think about it, you know, unless something really gets messed up so they can blame it on them.
Well, they were
talking. A lot of things goes on behind closed doors.
Well, that's true. But they were talking. That she wasn't doing anything for the people at the border.
Well, you don't know. But like I'm saying, that's what I'm saying. You don't know what she's doing.
I know. That's the whole problem.
Reported. But You don't understand. Whatever she do is gonna get criticized. If she came up with a program tomorrow that could solve the problem, I guarantee you. Oh no, that ain't good enough. No. You know.
Well,
she,
I believe
she
that.
She's black people, and a lot of times you have to do stuff. What they say in the cloak of the night, because whatever she puts up there, you know, the white people, you got all those old lawyers sitting up there. You know, they know some kind of garbage. They don't have to talk straight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whoever expected a black person to get a fair shot at anything? Because you got to be 10 times as good, right? So that may not be good enough.
Right.
I was talking to some people at GM, and they asked me to, you know, I wouldn't have told them that. I said, you know, they're going to crucify me if I tell them the truth. Can you imagine what they're going to do to me if I tell them a story and they find out that I was telling the story?
Mm.
You know, you get in a certain position, you know, you just have to take the bump, you know, and go along with it. Or else you're going to get crucified no matter where you go, especially when you get up to the high rank where people are making $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, you know, a year. I was talking to my daughter. She's going for this director job at one of the oil companies down in Texas. And I told her, I said, you better make sure you find you some people that you can trust. Because all those white people don't want to be working for you. And they're going to do everything they can to make you fall. I say, so wherever you do, you have to make sure that you find somewhere, and it's not, they may not be black now. Because black people stab you in the back as well. So we don't, you know, not like, you know. So you have to know what you're getting into and who you can trust.
Which is nobody.
Well, you know,
you don't know how to stand by yourself.
God always sticks somebody there for you. Now, you just got to be smart enough to see it. You know what I mean? Because the first thing I learned whenever you get in a management job is don't say nothing until you figure out what the heck is going on. Because all changes are made for a reason. You may not know what that reason is, but, you know, as I tell people to come to help me, if it was that easy, I wouldn't need you. People come in, been there 5 minutes. Oh, we know what your problem is, Clark. Wait a minute. If it's that easy, why they send two people down here? I can figure out the easy stuff. I need to be like, oh, yeah, but we didn't. What had happened, a director came through, and the plant had been putting the wrong boat in for about 2 years. Right?
Wow.
So that they don't get penalized for it, the people at the plant start talking about, we need to change that such and such boat. I said, for what? Well, we can save all this money. And the director says, Clark, you hear what they said? I said, yeah, but when people give you advice that's going to help them and you know it's going to help them, you really need to find out what's going on. So the director called me back about 3 days after he had left there. And he said, did you make the change? I said, no. He said, well, why not? Didn't I tell you? I said, because they've been putting the wrong boat in for the last 2 years, and they want to cover themselves up by making you switch the boats. That's why they wanted to do it. Well, they didn't tell me that. Duh.
you told them to dig a little deeper.
Yeah, dig deeper. When stuff
you
happens.
told them what
yeah,
they
I told
were
them
doing?
That.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. If I told a lie, I was going to get burnt. If I told the truth, I was going to get burnt. So, hey, just let me go with the truth. At least I can, you know, you have to remember if you tell the truth, if you tell a lie, you got to remember what you tell a lie and why you told it. Right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, anybody.
Tell the truth. You tell the truth, you don't have to remember. But, I mean, the truth is the truth. It stands on its own merits. That's
right.
True. So, you know, they're all up their line.
I talk for 2 hours and don't say nothing. And I left it. You started talking 2 hours ago, and you ain't said nothing yet. When are you going to get to the important part of what you're supposed to say? But because they were white, you know, they listened to them. And this one quality man I trust this time. Let me tell you something. Don't you ever get me on another phone call that lasts 2 hours. He said, I want to know three things. I want to know what the problem is, how soon you're going to get it fixed, and when I'm going to get good parts here. Those are the only three things I want to hear from these people. But they want, you know, they want to make it sound like they didn't change the whole world and all that stuff. I said, the man don't want to hear all that stuff. Answer those three questions and get off the phone.
Well, you know, people can't keep it simple. They have to, you know, justify their salaries by, you know, like they say, dazzle them with BS.
Right.
Is that what they say?
Yeah.
That's what they say.
But half people don't know what you're talking about anyway. They have no clue. They just know somebody told them something. You don't know why. They never asked why. But because somebody else said it, they automatically agree with it because that person was higher than they were.
So let me ask this question.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Let me ask this question. Do you think that Ketanji Brown Jackson would be a qualified nominee for the Supreme Court? You think the Supreme Court would be better with her?
Most definitely. Because, like I said,
yeah, and
you need is one person there that can really change the, you know what I mean, who have a different point of view, you know. Even if she loses, she still gets a chance to write a dissent. And she's smart enough to know how to do that. If she's done, I think you said 9 cases in front of the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
I think Thurgood Marshall only did 6 in front of the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
So she's more qualified than Thurgood Marshall was. And he was a heck of
an attorney, yeah. I mean, you know, and she, and a Supreme Court judge. I mean, so, you know, I think that the masses are afraid of black excellence. I think black excellence scares them. You know, that's why they want to go to critical race theory, and
mm-hmm.
now they want to talk about, you know, these pedophiles and child pornography and, you know, trying to confuse the masses to try to show some weaknesses to say that she's not qualified. But I don't think there's anything that could say, you know, that they could choose on her record that would make her less qualified than Brett Kavanaugh or Gorsuch
or
the right, yeah. So, I mean, when you're comparing apples to apples, I think that she outshines everybody. I think that, and I think that she's galvanizing a community as well, you know, in the process.
And had the nerve to graduate the top of the class at Harvard. Ted Cruz, I think they said he graduated. It's not the top, close to the top at Harvard.
But
she graduated.
He doesn't have any integrity, character, and he's not a good example of, you know, not even being a basic human being, you know, when it comes down to it. And, you know, I don't care what school you go to or what school you graduate from. You know, when it comes down to it, do you stand up for the people or do you stand up for yourself or do you stand up for these big corporations? And, you know, one of the senators had some charts up there showing where all this dark money is coming from. you know, and how much dark money is in the race to pick these Supreme Court justices. I think that Gorsuch, I think they spent $17 million. I think they spent $15 million for Kavanaugh and about $14 million for the last lady that they that Trump chose to be on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, right.
And then you can't trace all this. You can't trace all this money. And the Federalist Society, you know, were picking the judges that Trump was nominating, and he said it. You know, I'm going to let the Federalist Society choose them. And then you don't know what these corporations or these people that putting up all this money, what courses they have, what cases they have in front of the Supreme Court. So it's definitely a conflict of interest, you know. So we're in perilous times right now.
Yeah.
You know, black Jenny White, what do you think? The conscious of the United States. Because nothing would have really happened if it wasn't for black people. Civil rights, gay rights,
mm-hmm.
everything. I mean,
right.
if you boil it down, the black people in the United States made the United States what it is today. But they don't want to give credit for that.
That is true, yes. Yeah.
You know. But we have to pass it down to our kids so that they know that.
Well, you know, if you talk to some of these 20-somethings and 30-somethings and you talk politics with some of them, you would be surprised the positions that they take in terms of how they look at what's going on. I mean, you think common sense is common, and you think, you know, things are black and white, and you think that, you know, you can tell, you know, if it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, you know, you can tell what it is. But when you listen to some of these people, for instance, you know, there was someone that compared what Ketanji Brown Jackson went through in her, you know, this confirmation here with what Brett Kavanaugh had to go through, and said that he had it worse because his reputation was ruined because he was accused of being a gang rapist and that was worse than what you know, Ms. Brown Jackson had to go through. And so, you know, it's just that you don't know who supports who or what people's politics are. And just, you know, all you know, skin folk ain't kin folk. You know, I continue to say that. So everybody's black don't feel the same way. And some people haven't been through a struggle. And some people have. I mean, some people you think would know better. You know, I've got a friend, and we're cool as long as we're not talking about politics. But you know, if you didn't know he was black, you would swear, you know, he was a redneck white man with a hood on.
You can hear from a lot of the young people also. A lot of black young people, you can talk with them. They are for the backing. Like one of my sons said, we know Trump, he just, you know, he asked him, but he's wrong in this and that. Well, he just played and he made it through. That's all it is. He played his game and he made it. That's what
is
they
that
said.
What
a
they
lot
said?
Of young people. That's what this one said, and I wanted to choke him. I said, are you kidding? Suppose he play his game against you, and you don't make it, you know.
Right.
But they don't care.
Right.
He has to protect the country. I said, protecting the country might be throwing you out of here, you know. Yeah, we have to do this. We have to do that, you know. But a lot of them were upset when he didn't. They said the 2020 election was rigged because he didn't win.
They
I
know
mean, young
it
people,
wasn't.
Educated.
They know it wasn't. That's why when they came down and what was it? Was it 19 states that changed their voting situation? They knew that it was all right. I mean, it was for real. But they just, you know, when you say something long enough, you'll start believing
people
it.
People buying into it, yeah. And those ballots have been handled so much, you don't know who's who and what's what.
But how many times did they count? They had to count, what, about three times? And
yeah,
each
counted,
time
counted
they came out left. Okay. They knew it was okay.
He couldn't find anything wrong there.
But see, Trump wants to get in, and what he wants to do, he wants to be a Putin. He wants to get in there and step.
They want him to get in to be a Putin. To keep them, no matter how you vote, it won't count
you
at
know,
all.
Do you know the same people that are kissing his ring or kissing that stupid statue that they created? He doesn't care
yeah,
about those people. Yeah, he doesn't care about them.
It's
they
power.
Don't understand that? Boy, I tell you.
Well, as long as black people, as long as they feel that black people are up under them, even being white trash, they're okay with it.
Yeah, I know.
That
it's marginalization
oh,
again.
I'm
it's
glad you know that Mississippi Burning. You were talking about the Mississippi Burning.
Yes, sir.
You're looking to see, trying to see. Did you know what the whole bottom line to that was?
The voting.
That movie
was it?
No.
What was it?
Remember the detective that was driving, was going down there looking for the kids, you know? And I think it was the FBI, whatever this guy was. He grew up down there in Mississippi. And he said, you know what? I couldn't figure out what was going on, but he said, you know, there was this black guy that had this, I guess he had a horse. He had this real pretty horse.
Real, yeah.
Remember that? And he said,
yeah, that
every day we go by, we see him just brushing that horse. You know, he was so proud of it. And then he said, we came down there one day, and his dad was driving. He said, whatever happened to that old man, Mr. Smith, that used to be out there taking care of that horse? And his dad turned over and looked at him and said, if you're not better than a nigger, who can you be better than?
Yeah, he had a mule to plow his fields, yeah.
Right.
Instead of saying, well, how come we can't get together? I plow and you plow, you know.
Right.
He said the thing that the man couldn't realize was the fact that the poverty was killing both of them.
Right.
But he didn't care.
Like people have got to feel they're better than somebody. I don't know why, but they do.
Oh, yeah. You know, and their whiteness is showing. I mean, you know, and they don't care. I mean, you know, we got all these Karens and they got these dog whistles. You know, where there was, I think it was in Chicago, if I'm not mistaken. I could be mistaken where it was. But a white lady was in the store, and she was at the register, and, you know, black lady was in there with two young kids. I think one of them was seven, and, you know, had this big backpack on. So, you know, as he walked by, and this on video, you know, on the surveillance camera, his backpack brushed the lady, you know, brushed the lady's butt. And so, after the little kid walked by, I mean, he's not paying any attention. He got this big backpack on. She accused him of smacking her on the butt and called the police, and so the police came, and oh man, it was a big blowout. After everybody looked at surveillance cameras, you know, she ended up apologizing, but I mean, you know, you didn't traumatize a 7-year-old kid, by accusing him of feeling on your butt when it was his backpack that rubbed against you as he was walking by. But that's the same lie that got Emmett Till killed.
Yeah,
right? That's true.
Yes, yes. I have another. Go ahead. I have another listener who has something to say. Hello, your name is and where you're calling from?
My name is Bianca. I'm calling from the Midwest and the South.
Okay.
How are you?
I'm good.
No, I'm against this nominee, Ms. Brown, for several reasons. Now, she may be qualified, but she's not adequate. Heck, she doesn't give a definition for a woman. She never heard of the Dred Scott decision. And you look at her record in the courts, how many of her judgments have been overturned in appeal. And Joe Biden done something that was illegal when he made the statement. He was going to appoint a black female. That's racist. That's
let me
ask, 1964. Well, let me finish, please. It goes against the 1964 Civil Rights Act. I, as an employer, could not say I'm going to go out and hire somebody black, nor can schools say we're going to admit black students. So what he done, what he said was racist. And other things he's done was racist, so all of a sudden that could not be, too. And, you know, you talk about the vote count. You talk about the vote count. The courts didn't look at it because the Constitution says when you have controversies between states, it's supposed to go back to the state legislature. It's the states that give the federal government its power. The Supreme Court cannot legislate laws. They cannot interpret the Constitution. They only make sure that the laws that's passed, which is designed to take some rights from you, aren't unconstitutional. And the votes, the ballots, the bad ballots will continue to be counted. And there's many things going on where they're talking about bringing those ballots back. Mike Pence was supposed to send those ballots back to the states. But then, too, the people of the states should make the legislature do what they were supposed to do, straighten that mess out.
They did. They recounted the votes here in Detroit, you know, three times and didn't find any discrepancies. But let me ask you this. You said two things. You said, one, Ms. Katanji Jackson didn't say what the definition of a woman was, and then you said that Joe Biden has done some other, you say legal or discriminatory things.
Well, he said some other racist things in his history. So to say that he couldn't, what he said about appointing a black female was okay. Well, it was wrong. He should have said he was going to nominate quote unquote judge. That's all it would have taken. But we know why he done that, because he's trying to kowtow to the emotion of a certain group in this country. You know what I would have asked her if I was had opportunity? I would have asked her if she believed.
That's the same thing the Republicans doing. But go ahead.
Well, it doesn't make no difference who they are.
All right.
You got
right.
Bill
we'll
Clinton. You in Detroit, Bill Clinton at a Clinton Foundational Forum. And it's on YouTube. He said that he believed he would like to see Syrian refugees redevelop Detroit. So you know what that's saying? That's saying that there are 300-some-odd thousand blacks that's there don't have anyone there capable of redeveloping Detroit. And your former governor said that too, Engler.
Nope, no complaints with that.
Now, another point. And yeah, I forgot what I was going to say, but no, I think
that. Well, let me ask you a question while you're thinking. Do you think that Trump was the good president for the United States?
Yes, because his policies was making America first, and I mean, just as something that you're experiencing now. We have self-dependence in the production of gasoline. 18 months ago, I was paying $1.55 a gallon. We didn't import any gas. This was long before any actions in the Ukraine and Russia, long before inflation. Look at the industries that came back. You had the steel industry in Illinois and Missouri. You had furniture making in North Carolina. You had airplane manufacturing, and so on, so on, so on. That was a good thing. People, and the killing of the Keystone Pipeline, look how many jobs that he put out. Black engineers and so on.
How did you
Pardon
give
me?
All that credit to Trump is what I'm asking. Give me some data.
I'll tell
you
what. You give me your email address, and I'll send you a list of about 80 companies.
Just tell me where you get the data from. That's all I'm asking.
Well, the data's in the news, sir.
Well, you give me the data.
I was in Missouri. I was in Missouri. Wait a minute. I was in Missouri, and I witnessed Granite City Steel opening back up. In the local newspaper, the owners said that they're doing so because of tariffs and corporate taxes that was put in place by Donald Trump. In Texas,
it was already stated that the money that Donald Trump put back in went to the top 10% of the country.
$2 trillion.
How
right.
do you say?
Listen, we're talking about terrorists.
Not
where,
you talking about terrorists, or are you talking about tariffs?
Terrorists. We're talking about as it does with businesses. We ain't talking about the T-E-R-R-O-R-I-S-T.
Well, when you put
tariffs on imported goods, it's designed to protect local and manufactured goods in the state.
No, it's not.
Yes,
no,
it does.
Not. Terror,
so when Russia was sending plate steel, Russia was sending plate steel into the country that was undercutting American businesses, which called Granite City Steel, which is next to East St. Louis, Illinois, they had to shut down.
Who do you think paid the tariff? The people that Detroit and all the people in the United States is actually paying the tariff.
The tariffs
makes
the products coming in. Wait a minute. The terrorist makes the products that's being imported into the United States, and also the U.S. Constitution said the federal government can't implement tariffs. Those terrorists raise the price of imported goods so they are not cheaper, undercutting American-made goods, thus by putting
American
workers out of work.
America's got to pay for it.
You're talking Donald Trump stuff now.
America's
got
to
pay for
back,
it, but guess what? They got jobs, right?
But go back and take a look at the definition of tariff and who actually pays it. Okay?
You don't need to
go read the paper. I'm going to give you you take your assignment and I'll take mine.
Let me ask you something. Have you ever heard of the AGOA Act, the African Growth and Opportunity Act?
The Opportunity Act?
What is
The AGOA, A-G-O-A, the African Growth and Opportunity Act. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I haven't. What is it?
That permits American businesses to manufacture and produce goods on the continent of Africa and in some countries. I say Ghana is one. Then you could import those goods back into this country without paying tariffs on them, thereby allowing you to compete with Chinese and other foreign manufacturers coming into the state. That's what tariffs do.
I don't know that specific one. I'd have to look it up. I don't know it.
Yes, sir. It'd be a good job.
What's the point?
And another thing I would have asked her, this is what I would have asked her, do she believe that the Supreme Court had the right to legalize interracial marriages? Because the Constitution said that should be left up to the states. And one of the reasons I would have asked her that question, because she's married to a white man.
And so
when she first came in, Clarence is already on the court. She said that she would uphold and defend the United States Constitution, her first opening statement. So if she can't say that she felt that that was a wrong decision, being that the states have the right to set the qualifications for marriage, well, then she would be living out something that was doing wrong, being married. Of course, there's nothing wrong with it, but being married to an interracial person.
According to you, it is.
No, I'm saying that what the court done was wrong.
According to you, that is wrong, right?
I said what the court done is wrong. If the states won't allow whoever marry, like it was at one point where you can marry a female as young as 12 years old, actually in Delaware it was 7, that was that state's right to set those standards.
But you don't think the federal government should be able to say you have to be at least 18, 7 is okay. Why not?
No,
why not five?
Federal government has no power
five?
Over the states. They have no power over states. The federal government cannot tell the federal government. The Constitution gives the states the right to set the parameters for marriage. That is the supreme law. Pardon me?
The Constitution gives you the right to vote too, but it's not.
I ain't saying nothing about voting. We talking about marrying.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing.
No, it's not.
What's the difference? The Constitution gives you that right. So why can't it give you another right?
Well, blacks had the right to vote going back to the 19th Amendment, right?
Okay.
Matter of fact,
before
that, the 19th gave women the right to vote. Black males had the right
to
vote before white women.
What was that, 1932?
That was 18-something.
Okay, 18-something. Yeah. How many black people you know down south would vote?
How many black people down south could vote?
They had the right. You said they had the right to vote.
They had the right to vote. The 1965 Voters' Rights Act didn't have nothing to do with voting. It had to do with registration.
No.
I know somebody who would tell it to you good. Go to YouTube and pull up Fannie Lou Hamer and listen to her speech at the 1964 Democratic Convention, where she talked about her and 18 people went to Indianola, Mississippi to register to be full. It was about registration, not voting. The Constitution already gave them the right to vote.
Then why do you have to go through all that to pass a law for you? So you can vote then.
No, it wasn't about voting. It was about registration. They had to pass the law, and they had to put states under pre-clearance agreement with the Department of Justice. In other words, if they wanted to change anything that affected the voting pattern, it was about 5 or 6 states, even Hawaii and Maine, they would have to get pre-clearance from the Department of Justice.
Yes, that's true.
That wasn't Missouri.
Can you vote?
That
okay.
wasn't Illinois.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you vote without registering?
Hello. We're running out of time. I love the conversation, but we're going to have to pick it up.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, ma'am. I just wanted to point that out about her.
Absolutely. Everybody on my show can get an opportunity to speak. So that's okay. TC, it's okay.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, I ain't working.
So I'd like to ask you, is it something that you would like to say ending?
Another show.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
We make us think. That's what we need to do. Be able to
what?
Think.
Give
I
you
think
a
you
who?
Make us think.
Make a what?
I said you make us think. The show.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And Miss Lucy.
Listening to all of this, what rights do we really have? And I wonder, my concern, biggest concern, is what the rights of our children are going to have in the future if we're going through these changes now. That's my biggest concern. All of this is my biggest concern. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Coleman.
Well, I'd just like to end on saying that the Voting Rights Act of 1965 was signed into law on August 6th by President Lyndon Johnson. It outlawed the discriminatory voting practices adopted in many southern states after the Civil War, including literacy tests as a prerequisite to voting. The amendment to the Constitution and was signed into law 95 years after the amendment was ratified. In those years, African Americans in the South faced tremendous obstacles to voting, including poll taxes, literacy tests, and other bureaucratic restrictions to deny them the right to vote. They also risked harassment, intimidation, economic reprisals and physical violence when they tried to register or vote. As a result, African-American voter registration was limited along with political power. So, you know, that's
I believe that
the Voting Rights Act was implemented and put into place. And then, you know, every 25 years we have to ratify it again. So
yeah,
everybody else
that's
has
crazy.
The freedom and the right to vote. But, you know, it seems like black people, you know, we have to
right.
come up against this, you know, every 25 years. And now they're, you know, instituting the same thing as far as, you know, voter intimidation and the poll taxes, you know, for people convicted of felonies, you know, you got to pay so much, you know, and then still they don't want some of them to vote. And then, you know, like in Georgia, you know, you get somebody some water or some food while they're standing in line, you can be sent to jail. They're trying to send a lady in Texas to jail, you know, because she tried to vote and had a felony and thought she was able to vote. And her parole bureau told her that she could. So, you know, I hear what the caller was saying, but, you know, Trump didn't make America better. I mean, you know, he made America worse. I mean, he brought out.
Yes, he did.
You know,
yes,
he brought out the worst in America.
Yes, he
as
did.
As far as black and white relations, you know, he was on the side of these corporations. He was bought and sold. And,
yes.
You know,
yes, yes.
They reversed a lot of the restrictions that were in place for climate control and pollution and all those things that were put in place.
Yes.
To protect us. So no, you know, he didn't make America better. You know, he made America better for white people. And that was only
white
for the rich ones, right?
Yeah.
And then the fact that you had the chicken guard in the hen house, well, you had the fox guard in the hen house because Russia's been able to institute all their cyber and spyware into all these corporations and to all these government sites, you know, for the past 4 years. You know, we have all these all the spyware, these systems embedded, it's in so deep you don't even know. So whenever Russia gets ready to, you know, institute a cyber attack,
they can do it.
4 year window where nobody was looking. Trump closed his eyes, turned his back. And Russia did what they did, and, you know, and then they practiced a couple times where, you know, these companies had to pay ransoms because they shut them down. And so, you know, you better go to the bank and get some money out because, you know, when they start attacking these banking systems, you know, the five major banks, you know, that's going to affect 40% of the people. You know, you're not going to be able to get your money out these ATM machines, you know, and you know, so you better get some cash on hand. You better go get you some water and some perishable items, you know, that some food and some cans, you know, get you some beans, you know, and get you some hog head cheese and some Spam, some potted meat. Because when it go down, it's going to go down, you know, and you better be prepared because Putin is on one right now, you know, and until they assassinate him, you know, they need to take him out like they took out Saddam Hussein and Muammar Gaddafi and everybody else the CIA had killed, you know. So I'm going to end on that note, and, you know, we could take it up again next week.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you. I want to thank all of those who called in and spoke and those that called in and didn't. I appreciate you guys, too. So you don't have to say anything. I'm glad you're calling in. So what I have to say is sometimes to give up on people, not because you don't care, but because they don't. You got to give up on them. They don't care. So that's something for you to think about. And with that having been said, I want to thank you again for being a part of my show and our show, because I think that you're a part of it as well. So we'll do this next Friday, the same time, and I'll be looking for you guys. And have a good weekend, because it's almost the fourth month already. This time is going fast. Yeah. So have a good evening, everyone. Good night.
Take care. Bye.
And thank you for listening to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White.